We are going to be reading this morning from the letter of James, chapter 1. Over the summer, we are looking at the letter of James and the wisdom of God, godly wisdom. And so we are going to be reflecting throughout the summer on the many wonderful things God has for us to hear and understand through his word, through James. This morning, we are going to just read the second half of James chapter 1, beginning at verse 17. In James 1, verse 17, we read, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because our anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Those who listen to the word but do not do what it says are like people who look at their faces in a mirror and after looking at themselves go away and immediately forget what they look like. But those who look intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continue in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world." Our text is verse 19, where it specifically says everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Congregation of Jesus Christ, as we reflect this morning on that truth of God, godly wisdom, just to recognize, first of all, that we are thinking, speaking about, reflecting on what God would have us do. That's wisdom. It's not just intelligence, it's actually not just being smart and thinking we are smart and knowing lots of things, but it is having that worldview, that understanding that God is at the center of all things. And so last week too, we looked at that in terms of the trials we face. And we recognized James in the beginning of the chapter sharing that beautiful insight that when we face trials, if we place God at the center, which is wisdom, to have God at the center, even in the trials, then we know that God is with us. And we recognize how Jesus entered the trials we face, and we see that too, even in his suffering and death, which we are going to remember here in the Lord's Supper. Jesus endured the trials of this world, the trials of sin. And he declared the final word of hope, a word of victory. And that is summarized beautifully in Romans 8, verse 39, where it says, "Nothing, not life or death, not angels or principalities, nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And Romans 8, 28, "In fact, all things, even the trials we face, in all things, God works for the good of those who love him." So this is a difference when we look at the world and people who don't know God wonder about the trials they face and are just more and more upset and uncertain. We know, as we have God at the center, even in the trials, we can have that assurance and that hope. Very different, very comforting living in the assurance of God's presence and care. This morning we hear more godly wisdom from the letter of James. As we continue to read in the first chapter, it says we need to listen. To listen carefully, to let God speak to us. And just to reflect on how that works, I want to see if you can do that. If we practice that first a little bit here this morning, if you have heard God speaking already here this morning, as we gather here, we celebrate a beautiful work of God. The anniversary of Harry and Helen. And we hear the children sing and we welcome different family members. And what do you hear in that? What do you hear God saying to you in that? Because God says things to us, verse 17, in every good and perfect thing. In every good thing that happens. And so, in contrast to, definitely there are trials. And as I mentioned last week, we all have trials in all different ways. But there are always good things. And so, do you hear those? In Philippians 4, it talks in verse 8 and 9, whatever is good, whatever is perfect, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, think about those things too. And in those things, hear God speaking a word of comfort, a word of encouragement to you. So often, in all of our busyness, in all of our living in general, with the many blessings God has given, we don't hear God in the good things. And so to see a marriage built on faith, trusting in God, to recognize that, give thanks for that, and to have that speak into our lives, into our marriages, into our relationships, to receive the goodness, to continue to call on God, to be present and active in those relationships, is God speaking into our lives in every good thing. Good health, good relationships, good work, even this good land, Canada. Did you hear it this weekend? Or were you even too busy? That God has blessed us with living in this place at this time. And to see that, to hear that, to just live thankfully in the presence of God in this land. Do you hear God speaking to you? Are you listening in the good things? So often we just expect them and we just go on. But to walk with God humbly, thankfully, joyfully is to recognize His presence, His work, His provision in the good thing. So that's the first thing that I want to highlight for you this morning. As James says to us, listen. Are you listening? God is speaking to you. Recognize His wonderful care, His tremendous blessings in so many ways. The second thing in James, he says, be quick to listen. James 1 verse 19, be quick to listen. And when he says that, it's the word, the Bible uses the word quick only a very few times. And when it uses the word quick, it's most commonly in these examples. Proverbs 6 verse 18, God hates feet that are quick to rush into evil. In Proverbs 20, verse 3, a fool is quick to quarrel. And so quick is not good. And so here, when it says be quick to listen, it reminds us that quick people often don't listen very well. And we are distracted, like Wayne demonstrated, by other things and by the quickness in our culture. We have to go, go, go. And so, a quick prayer. Just a quick prayer and then we'll go. And so we are very good at a quick prayer. And just to slow down, to hear God, to reflect for a moment in prayer. And even if I would ask you to just to spend a little more time. And just to like, when was the last time you actually prayed out loud for half a minute? For a full minute? We are, there's no time for that. And so there's a warning here against, yeah, that life becomes quick, 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 and hearing God fades far into the background. Also, yeah, a quick Bible reading, a quick devotion. When do you actually read the whole chapter or reflect a little more on what you are reading? That is in view here, as it says you should be quick to listen, which means slow down. Be wise, slow our speech, and slow any angry response. And that is very much, that's very hard for us in our very quick and busy culture. So the second point of this text is to slow down. Godly wisdom takes the time to listen to God. Now, let me just, like, when you slow down and when you even listen to this text, it says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And when we read through that quickly, then we think, oh, that means with each other, right? That means we should be just listening to each other, and we shouldn't speak back to each other so quick or become angry with each other. But that's not what it says. That's not what it means at all. He's talking about with God. So be quick to listen to God and slow down in terms of your speaking back to God. And you're becoming angry with God. Well, you say, but I never speak back to God. I never become angry with God, right? Or do we? If we reflect a little longer on what he's saying, there is, building on the sense of trials, people can speak back to God and become angry with God in their trials. That's a struggle. It's understandable. But even more generally, people are quick to speak back to God in a quick life. When God calls us to pray and we listen to him and we hear him say, pray to me, then we speak in response, no, Lord, I'm too busy. And God says to us, feed on my word. We say, no, Lord, that really doesn't, I don't have time for that. So we are speaking in response to God. And we respond in words and in actions. We even say to each other, no, we're too busy, let's go. I have time for that. I have other things to do. And so we do speak quickly against God. And it even makes us a little angry sometimes when God asks us, for example, in verse 20, it says to live a righteous life, the righteousness that God desires. And that includes, to live humbly, thankfully, serving others and serving God, taking care of the orphans and the widows. Well, I don't have time for that. I got to work on the farm, busy with all the things I like to do, and I get a little angry with God. If he wants me to take my time to do these things. And so all of that is in view. People do speak back to God. We do. People do respond with a little bit of anger if, asked to volunteer again, asked to give a little support to the church. Well, no. Don't have time for that. So, godly wisdom here confronts that reality in us, slows us down, says, take the time, make the time to listen to God, to live for God. Verse 22, to listen and to do what he says. And that's where joy is. That's where thankfulness is. That's a gracious call to live in harmony with God's will for our lives, focusing ourselves on him and not us. That's where goodness and happiness and contentment lie. So this passage speaks into our lives. We need to hear God speaking into our lives in the good things. We need to hear God calling us to slow down and to hear him speaking into our busy, quick lives. And finally, verse 21, there is that picture of godly wisdom, God's word, helping us stand against the evils of our culture. God's word, God's voice, helps direct us in what we should and shouldn't do, how we should live. It speaks very clearly against a world that denies God and puts forward all kinds of things that are very unsatisfying, empty, very crude and sad and sinful. The word of God, if we listen to it, allows us to understand our purpose. Our place. God created us, verse 18. He wants us to live for him. And that word is planted in us, that seed of grace. God's calling us to trust him and love him and serve him. And that continues to be the challenge that we have. And that continues out of already the Old Testament. In the Old Testament already, people were challenged to live for God, to hear him. And you think even people like Moses, but Moses didn't have any struggles. Well, he had plenty of struggles. And what happened with Moses? God spoke to him. He heard God speaking in the burning bush, first of all. That voice of God transformed his life. And even if you think about Moses' ministry in the tabernacle, where he actually went into the presence of God, in the presence of God, in the tabernacle, in front of the Holy of Holies, he heard God. That's the thing. He heard God speaking to him. Numbers 7, verse 89. Moses entered the tent of meeting to speak with the Lord. He heard the voice speaking to him from between the two cherubim above the atonement cover on the ark. He went in. He heard God speaking. He understood. And Elijah, as he ministered for the Lord, and he had struggles, and he ran away, and he went to the mountain of God, and Jezebel and Ahab were threatening him, and he was ready to quit. And it says in 1 Kings 19, God sent a mighty wind, so Elijah was shaken, and an earthquake, everything was shaking, a fire. But it says, after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in any of the other things, not in the fire. But after the fire, he heard something. And that's when he fell to his knees when we hear God speaking, that's when things change. So I ask you, have you heard God speaking to you? What has God been saying to you? Are you listening? Brings us to Jesus. Jesus is the very Word of God. Words spoken. And Jesus spoke fully the Word of God. And on the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus is there with Moses and Elijah. Those are the two guys with him. And Jesus is there, and he begins to just shine with the glory of God. And then it says in Matthew 17, verse 5, a bright cloud enveloped them, Jesus, Moses, Elijah, and a voice said, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." Listen to him. Of all the things we listen to, don't listen to all that. Listen to him. That's the call on our lives again this morning, that we would listen to the Lord Jesus and that we would not be like those who first heard him. The ministry of Jesus when he came can be summarized in our text. Everyone should be quick to listen. Well, people were quick to listen to Jesus. When Jesus began his ministry, great crowds came and they listened. But then what happened? They started to speak against Jesus. It says in James 1, verse 19, be slow to speak. But people started to be quick to speak. They said, who is this carpenter? Who is this guy? Who does he think he is? And then they became angry. And they said, what does he have any right telling us what to do? And then they crucified him. Don't be like that. We are still in danger of being like that. We are called again, though, in grace to listen. Listen to Jesus. Like James says, God's word speaking into our hearts, that seed planted in you, that we would indeed repent and believe, humbly accept the word, verse 21, and continue to grow in grace and forgiveness. This is the wisdom of God. Listen. Listen to God. Listen to Jesus. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we